Brother Greenfield asked me to just share a little bit about our fellowship. Our fellowship is a group of independent Baptist and Bible churches from eastern Kentucky, western West Virginia, and western Virginia. I'll get that right. In our area, there's not a lot of independent churches, and it's a large area, but we have a good time of fellowship and a good group of men and a sweet time of unity, and I enjoy that in our fellowship. As I was invited to speak, I couldn't help but think about, of course, the theme of this event, and of course next week, the 500th anniversary. And immediately a verse came to mind that has been mentioned yesterday especially. It was one of those cornerstone verses in the life of Luther, "The just shall live by faith." That little verse, though, is used three times in the New Testament. But what I find interesting is the fact that it comes from a pretty well unknown passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. And that's where I'd like us to go today, if you would. It's interesting how God uses, it's significant how God uses the insignificant. I mean, Habakkuk's a book that for many takes several hours to find in the Old Testament. And then it's considered part of the minor prophets. And with the Hebrew, they don't even call it the minor prophets. They just call it one of the 12. It doesn't even get a name. And yet it's cornerstone to much of the preaching of the New Testament. While it was life-changing for the man Luther, I personally believe it was life-changing for the man Habakkuk as well. The minor prophets are not uniform or monolithic in their teaching. For instance, they're different as far as their outlook. Jonah, very much a different book, isn't it? Some of those books were, of course, post-exilic. Habakkuk is a book that teaches on the issues of the judgment of God, but more than just teaching about God's judgment, it's about the issue of a man's response to the judgment of God. It's more about the man Habakkuk than it is the nation of Israel, or the nation of Judah, I should say. And as we look at the book, it teaches me a number of things, but it teaches me a very good lesson. Have you ever been up wondering why God is doing something or why he's not doing something? The book of Habakkuk starts out with God talking, or Habakkuk talking to God. He's got his theology right. He understands God's holy, cannot look on sin, and he's got all of his ducks in a row. And so he figures this plus this plus this means God's got to judge. Why aren't you? And he's talking to God and asking God, what's going on? Why aren't you doing what I think you should be doing? And God says, don't worry. I'm going to judge. But then he adds a little bit more information. I'm going to use Babylon. And it completely shatters Habakkuk's idea of God now, because he says, God, I know we're bad, but they're even worse. How can you use them? This doesn't fit in my theology, God. And what we see is, through the first part of the book of Habakkuk, God is bringing a Habakkuk to a crossroads, just like he does to you and I. I don't know about you, but I've been through several crossroads in my life. In fact, I heard a few years ago a statement that has stuck with me, and that's this, that God needs to be the God of your disappointments. You know, even in the midst of my disappointments, he's still God. And if you're honest with me, you've been disappointed by God at some time or other, at least as how you've seen things. And so Habakkuk does what a godly man should do. He comes and says, God, how can you do this? How can you do this with such an evil nation? And he says in chapter 2, we're just going to read a couple verses, because this is not even what I want to get across, but it says here in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. there's a little bit of a nuance of Job here, I think. He says, I'm standing, I'm watching, I'm waiting for God to answer. And God does answer. And he tells him that he is to write a vision. And he's to make an announcement. And he comes on down and he warns him about the idea of the fact that just because judgment isn't coming right away, that doesn't mean judgment's not coming. Again, 2 Peter comes to mind here. And he says in verse number 3, for the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That passage of Scripture right there is cornerstone for the righteous that lived within Judah, but particularly the man Habakkuk. Because here he is going to have to trust God when he doesn't understand what's going on. He thinks God should do it this way. He's got enough theology to get messed up, actually. And so he's listening to God, and he's at that crossroads. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I don't like what God's doing in my life. But when I'm through that event, I look back and say, thank you, God. Thank you. I wouldn't have picked it, and I don't want to go through it again. But I'm surely glad that you've brought me through it. And that's what God is doing to Habakkuk. And he brings him to this point. He gives him this pronouncement. But it doesn't stop there. Now, how is Habakkuk going to respond to that? God gives him 5 woes, tells him what's wrong, why he's going to judge, justification for his judgment. And then we see in chapter 3, Habakkuk's response. This is really the vital part of our passage, because all this sets up the response of Habakkuk. Is he going to accept what God is doing? We see at the beginning of this prayer a plea for mercy. And he asks God to be merciful in this, because he knows how wicked Babylon is. He's not so bent on the justice that he was wanting for Judah. Now he's wanting mercy. And then he talks to him and makes a pronouncement of God's power. And that's the lengthy part of this passage. When you come to verse 16, however, in chapter 3, I'm going to read from here to the end of the chapter, and then I'm going to give you 3 things just to think about. He says, when I heard, here's his response to all that God had said, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Here we come to his response, which is really, I believe, what was being emphasized when God said, the just shall live by faith. How does Habakkuk show his faith? He's been asking this question, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? I don't think you're doing it right. God says, the just are going to live by their faith. Really, what he's getting across is the idea that those that are just, salvation or faith is not something we do one time. It is what we live by. And I like sometimes better the word trust, because it's the idea that we're depending. So what? 3 things, and we're done. First of all, I see here that he's going to trust God for his justice in the midst of this. Verse 16 says that he's going to rest in the day of trouble. He believes that God is going to judge. Have you ever wondered when God was going to bring justice on a situation? I'm not just talking about the world. I look around and I see what's going on in America. And we've all heard a preacher say, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God doesn't have to apologize to anybody. It's in his timing. But sometimes, on a more personal level, we see a situation, we want justice. Doesn't Romans talk about the idea that we're not to seek justice because justice, vengeance is mine? That's hard, though. We like to say it, but it's hard when it's on a personal level. We want, another word is vindication. This prophet wanted vindication. He's been warning these people. But he says, I'm going to rest. I'm going to trust God for justice. Second of all, he's going to trust him in troubles. I love verse 17 and 18. They're some of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. You think about it. He lays on out the most desolate situation. He says, when everything fails, I have an opportunity to go sometimes to the Middle East, and there's one spot where I'm looking on out at thousands of olive trees. And they're, I mean, in the fall, they're just full of olives, full of olives. I mean, that's still their life in many ways. He says, everything's going to be gone. It's going to be desolate. It's going to be like a desert. Nothing produces. No fields, no flocks. But what does it say in verse number 18? Yet. He doesn't say, I'm going to endure. Yet I'm going to rejoice. Can we rejoice when things are going tough in our lives? It's easy to say things are going good when things are going good. But when things are tough, can we still rejoice and say God is good, God is faithful? In our tears, can we say, you're still my God and I love you? Can we rejoice? His faith, the just shall live by faith, meant I'm going to trust you not just when everything's wonderful, but when there's troubles, I'm going to trust you. And not just trust you, I'm going to rejoice. Flowing out of that attitude comes, I think, the last thing, and that's the issue of strength. He's going to trust him for strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In the middle of tough times, have you ever felt like you can't go on? Paul says in 2 Chronicles, the whole reason why God put him through those things is so that he could learn a simple truth. My grace is sufficient. He gained strength through those times. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You see how faith gives me strength? Me determining that I'm going to trust God when things aren't going well signals the inward strengthening of God through the Holy Spirit. And in this passage of Scripture, he says, the just shall live by faith. And he says, here it is. Here's how faith is expressed. You trust him for justice when things don't look right. You're going to trust him in troubles, and you're going to trust him for strength. He says, he'll make my feet like hinds' feet. A deer. It's deer hunting season in our area. One of the things that's so beautiful about deer is how they run. They've got strength, don't they? We live in the mountains and watch them just trot up there. It makes me jealous as I'm trudging up those mountains. He says, that's what God's strength gives me. When we look at the idea of the just shall live by faith, I want you to know that it's more than an adage for an ancient prophet. And it's more than just a saying that's a call to orthodoxy from 500 years ago. It's really what we're called to live by today. And he's calling each one of us at some time or other, may not be today, may not be tomorrow, but I guarantee you, it's been in your past and it's going to be in your future. When you don't understand what God's going to do or what he is doing, he's saying, the just shall live by faith. At this time, we're going to have prayer. And is there any additional prayer requests that need to be mentioned? Yes.